I think at the start of the year, we're really going to really feel like, dang, we really in a recession. The money is kind of run a little bit dry and money's not stretching. And they're going to feel the residuals of overstretching during the holidays because everybody wants to give. Everybody likes to buy. Don't nobody want to stop buying right now?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And we would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black Married and Debt-Free Podcast. Shira, how are you doing on today?
I'm doing okay. I think we got an extra hour of sleep last night.
Yes.
So when I woke up, you know, I wasn't as tired. So I start off appreciating it and then feeling a little bit down when it starts to get dark, you know, around 5:30.
Yeah, I don't like that for ending the day. Like, the day's end too fast. But me working graveyards, when I come home at like 4:35 in the morning, then it's still really dark. So I kind of like that because it feels like
you can get more sleep.
It's easier. Go right to sleep like that. But yeah, I hate the shorter days. And Shara, how do you feel about like this kind of cold weather? I'm not really feeling it.
Well, I was at first. I was like, wow, I really like fall.
Yeah.
But, you know, over the last couple of days, it has gotten pretty cold here.
Yeah.
And our cold is a lot different from cold in other parts of the country.
Right.
Because, you know, we live in a region where it gets really hot during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we just become accustomed to the warmth, and
yes,
as soon as we feel any cold, like, we're ready for a puff jacket,
right? We're dressing like we're in Minnesota.
So maybe, you know, in our area, I think we're a bit dramatic in that respect, but it's definitely hoodie weather, but you might need a coat.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what it is for me, Sharon. I mean, there may be some shallowness involved, but you know, your boy been in the gym, you know what I'm saying, and I was started wearing more t-shirts. Like, I started getting more comfortable in t-shirts, and now it's like that season didn't last long enough for me. Now I gotta put on hoodies.
Oh my goodness.
You know what I'm saying? I gotta cover up these guns. No, I'm playing. But I'm not really into like covering up right now. I really was getting used to just t-shirts and shorts, you
well
know?
Maybe you can buy your sweaters one size smaller so we can still see the goods.
Yeah, maybe you're right. But Shire, we're going to get right into this show. Hopefully you all are doing well out there. Thank you for tuning in. And like we always ask, if you enjoy this podcast, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars only, please, y'all. We appreciate it. But we're going to get right into this topic, Shire, because I think it's good for today. I think it's good for the times.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about an article from Yahoo Finance. And the title of this article is, If You Don't Need It, Don't Buy It Right Now.
Wow.
Here's where the latest Fed rate hike will hit you hardest and what you can do about it. I think this is important, Shire, because we're getting into the real weeds of this thing. This recession thing is really starting to gear up. People are saying that after December... First of all, I think Americans are going to go buy crazy. Like,
buy crazy? Like, buying up stuff?
Buying up stuff, Shire.
Okay.
The numbers for Halloween were bigger than last year. People spent more money on Halloween. I think people are going to do the same for Thanksgiving. And I think even people are going to stretch beyond their reach for Christmas.
Okay.
And I think when the first of the year turns on, and now people got to start paying those student loans again, and people really get off of the high that we're on, because we're like still on that high of all of the government assistance for COVID and the extended EDD unemployment. We're still running on the fumes of that, and many economists have said. And so I think at the start of the year, we're really going to really feel like, dang, we really in a recession. The money it's kind of run a little bit dry and money's not stretching. And they're going to feel the residuals of overstretching during the holidays because everybody wants to give. Everybody likes to buy. Don't nobody want to stop buying right now? You know what
well,
I'm saying?
Well, I think some of this happens every year,
yes,
right?
Happens every year.
Every year it's like, okay, what is going to be my holiday budget? Now, I do feel you on the Halloween candy. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe you're taking a strike at me. I bought a lot of candy, okay? And we got quite
a candy nuts,
yes, we had quite a few trick-or-treaters.
Yeah, we did.
And I still had some candy left over.
Sure did.
So, yeah, I didn't that I didn't spare any expense. I mean, I wasn't giving out full-size candy bars.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wanted to partake in
people want to live,
you know. Okay. But yeah, I think every year it's kind of like, okay, what is my budget going to be?
Right.
And you're right, you know, there were some stimulus checks, and in California where we live, we're still getting them. So a lot of people got one stimulus. I don't even remember the name of it, but it was based on income. So mm-hmm. not all families got it. And now they're doing a second stimulus that is around the high gas prices, mm-hmm. like some type of gas relief. I should have had this information right. pulled up, but just, yeah. So
and then tried the card. They were giving out cards for kids like during the summer of last year.
Did you say cards for kids?
Cards. Remember they were giving like these debit cards.
Oh, you mean like the EBT?
Yeah, they were like just giving food. Us stuff. We like, oh, okay, all right. Like. So there was a lot of, in California specifically, we were reaping the benefits of federal.
Well, you're about
stimulus.
To call them handouts, but I think a lot of families needed it, you know.
But it's weird because it's like, we technically didn't need it, but we were still getting them.
I'm not I'm not.
I mean, I ain't giving y'all cards back, but you know what I mean? I'm just highlighting how much.
Well, I mean, that just speaks to the pandemic and it really being unprecedented and that maybe the government didn't want to take the time to say, okay, you get it, you don't, you get it, you don't, you get it, you don't. But anyway, that's everything.
Yeah.
But you know, going back to this article, if you don't need it, don't buy it right now. And what stands out to me is that it's not saying don't ever buy it. Mm-hmm. It's just really saying that now may not be the time.
Yeah.
And for me, that's a good reminder because
I'm
an avid online shopper. I keep things in my shopping cart. I contemplate, you know, sometimes I empty the shopping cart, but sometimes I do go ahead and press buy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as we're moving into this era of increased prices, you know, I think the article may have some good points.
Very
so
timely.
Maybe we can dive into it a little bit more. So, what are some of the things that they're telling us that we should not dive into?
Yeah, let's check it out.
I see the first one that's listed is mortgages. So,
yep, we know how that's kind of the default. You know, the Fed raising the rates automatically affects mortgages. And for any avid listener, you already know this because I go through this weekly on the QuickCast. Me and Shire has done some in-depth things on how the interest rate can change your monthly premium very drastically.
But see, yeah, and to your point, I will go ahead and read this. It says that if you already own a home and have a fixed rate mortgage, then the rates won't impact you. But if you have a variable rate, you may see a difference.
Yes.
And if you're looking to buy now, you've already lost a significant amount of buying power. I mean, yes, but in some areas of the country, the prices are coming down.
Yeah, the home prices.
So you're likely to be approved for less, and now you can get a home for a little bit less. Mm-hmm. But the interest rate being so high, I can see why this is listed as something that you might want to hold off on.
Yeah, sure, because although the prices are going down, they're going down from a ballooned number. So it's like they may go down 10, 15, 20%, but it's 10, 15, 20%.
You're talking about the cost of a home.
Cost of a home. It's going down off of something that was already too high. So it really needs to come down. Like, you need to take off 50, you know,
I think 30%. Oh, okay, 50%. No.
Maybe not 50%, but you need to come down significantly more for it to, you know, kind of.
I'm saying that as a homeowner. I wouldn't want the equity in my house to just cut in half.
No, yeah, that's a whole.
And I don't think that that's what they're trying to do here. But
for new buyers is what I'm saying. Because you made mention of, you know, how maybe the price drops may help to
be able to afford.
Yeah. I think we still need to get lower before we can, before it could really.
The prices need to get lower.
Yeah, the prices would need to get much lower to offset how high interest is. So I think overall, like high interest is gonna affect you if you're in the buying.
Right. And the other thing that it speaks to is that with the increase in interest rates, and that means less people are going to qualify for a mortgage. They say for every percent that the rate goes up, there's about a 500,000 less people qualifying for a home.
That's insane.
So that just kind of knocks out people. So it even if you want
your credit to be better, kind of vibes. Is that what it's saying in essence?
It didn't mention credit, but I'm sure credit is a factor. But it's saying that it's becoming more expensive to buy, and maybe based off your income, credit, like you said, and maybe some other factors, you're just not qualifying.
Yeah.
Where if the interest rates were low, you would qualify.
That makes sense.
You would be able to, you know, have a house payment that made more sense for your budget.
Yeah.
So do you agree? Do you agree with this? That
yes, I do agree.
A mortgage is, if you don't need it, don't get one right now.
1,000%. I'm sorry to all my real estate brokers, and like, y'all know I love y'all. Y'all know me and Shire in general are proponents of buying real estate. Like that's what we do, you know what I mean? But right now, just for right now, if I had to give a word of admonishment, I'm not gonna say advice because we can't give advice, you know what I mean, Shy? But if I had to give a word of admonishment or encouragement, it would be, if you don't need it, don't buy it. And we're going to tell you what you could be doing in the interim. Well, I think when we get to our last bullet point here. But
I think they did give a tip here, which I think is valid, and we've done.
Yes.
That if you are going to purchase a house anyway, then you should try to buy your rate down. And that is basically when the buyer pays extra money up front to knock off some of those.
We definitely do that.
Percentage points.
A lot of times we'll use the funds. We'll buy a home and we'll do it on the contingent that the seller pays the closing costs. And sometimes we'll just take the funds that the seller provides for closing and we'll reassign them to buying points down. You have an option to do that.
Yeah.
And so we've done that.
Even in your primary, even in our primary residence purchase. Mm-hmm. We had a little bit larger of a down payment, but we basically were able to,
You
know, bump some points down.
Yeah. So every little bit helps in a time like this, Shire. So I think, that's very important.
Okay. Another thing that it says is that if you already own a home and have a home equity line of credit, those rates will be affected as well. So as the feds increase the interest rate, it's going to affect that. And that makes me think of the article that we were featured in recently, where it highlighted the fact that we used a HELOC to purchase our first rental property.
Right.
And so that's definitely something to consider. If you were to take out a HELOC, how the increased interest rates will impact you. You know, we don't currently have a HELOC, but we did use that strategy to purchase our first home. And, you know, we've been talking, like, I'm not sure if that's something that we would even recommend, like, right now.
Right.
Because it is a different time.
Right. It's a different time. And timing is everything, right, Shire? Okay. Well, and before we move on to the next point, I want to say, guys, I'm seeing a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? So on the tip of my tongue. Just to say, for now, a lot of interesting loan types being loan products being presented.
Yes.
Adjustable rates are on the rise. No down payment is on the rise. Interest only loans. Guys, these are things that were, I know we're all young, and maybe if many of us who were adults in 2008-2009 were young adults. These things blew up the market in 2008-2009. So don't get wrapped up in those things, those adjustable rate loans, those interest only loans, and these kind of these loans that sound too good to be true. They will get you in hot water if you're not careful, mm-hmm. especially in times like this. Because right now, real estate agents, brokers, banks, they all want to sell homes. They don't want to stop selling homes. Right. So they're going to do whatever creatively they can do to get you in a home. Unfortunately, sometimes it can hurt the home buyer. And by the time the home buyer is affected, all the parties that were involved, they moved on to the next person.
So for example, if you purchase a new home and you're working with the builder might say, you know, we'll offer you this interest rate for the first year. Mm-hmm. You know, and so then you're looking at what your payment could be, and you say, wow, this is something that I can manage.
Do this.
Then a year or two down the line,
The rates are worse or back up. The market is worse or whatever.
That totally happened to folks. Yeah. And so we have to do our best to learn, you know, from history. So the next thing that they have on here is credit cards, saying that, you know, Americans have a lot of credit card debt, over $840 billion worth.
Yeah.
And when the federal rate goes up, so does the interest on that debt.
Now let's talk about this, y'all. I'm getting ready to look this up because I'm curious to know what percentage of credit card debt is fixed. I think it's very, very low. Let me see how much.
But what they're recommending is that if you are using a credit card, that, you know, you should pay them down so there's no balance to have an interest rate charged on. And some people do that. Some people will use a credit card and then at the end of the month, you know, pay it off entirely. Mm-hmm. And so they're saying, well, if you can do that, then do it. I think the thing for credit, if you're buying things that you don't necessarily need. Like, I understand that sometimes people will have a credit card for emergencies. The best practice is to have an emergency fund for emergencies, emergency savings. But you know, I get that there are times where a person may feel that they need to use a credit card to cover an emergency.
Yeah.
But when you're using your credit card for things that you actually don't need. So that's going back to like the main point of this article, right, that if you don't need it, then don't buy it right now.
And a large number of credit card debt is not fixed. So as the interest goes up with the Fed raising the rates, it's like having an adjustable rate mortgage. Your credit card is adjustable if it's not fixed. And so as the rates go up, your payments start to go up, Shire. And so, man, that's just a world that, if you can help it, you don't want to live in that world right now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's a good one, Shire. If you don't need, I feel like using a credit card, unless you do the travel thing and you're like a travel credit card enthusiast and you do it and you pay it, you know, I use my credit card strategically to pay this, and then at the end of the month I pay it. Some people do that and they can manage that really well. I'm not speaking to those people, but the folks that you said, Shire, right, that use a credit card as a means for an emergency, you know, savings, or in lieu of an emergency savings.
Yeah, but I'm saying to buy, like, I'm just gonna go buy some shoes.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Got you. Okay, I feel you on that.
You know.
Yeah.
Obviously, the credit card, if you have an emergency, the priority is, that's what emergency savings are for. But we understand that some folks might still be in the process of building up their emergency fund. But it's, you know, if you don't need it, then don't buy it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So I'm not sure if you read this yet, did you?
No, I can though.
Let's read this.
The median interest rate on credit cards in October before the Fed's rate rise was 22.21%. So these credit cards, it's so expensive, right?
Highway robbery.
Yeah. Whatever you buy, you're going to be paying a lot more back for it. Mm-hmm. So definitely make sure that it's worth it. And the last one, I don't know how I feel about this one, but I know how I feel. But anywho, yeah, it's car loans.
Man, oh man. Let me tell you.
So it says your car loans won't escape the rate hike either. In the first quarter of 2022, the national average rate for a 60-month car loan was 4.07%, and it will continue going up with the Fed's latest announcement.
60 months, Shia, what's that?
That's 5 years. 5 years, sweetie.
12, 24.
He don't believe me. 60 months is 5 years.
6 years, Shia.
No, it's not.
Let's do the math. 12, 24, 36, 48.
60.
60.
Help
okay,
him,
you're
Jesus.
Right, you're right, you're
Help
right.
him.
Okay. 60. So, oh, Lord, man. That's. Let's talk about it, Shia, because me and you, we've made a vow to each other. Not only our wedding vows, but we vowed what? After we did it one time. We've been married 15 years. We did it one time, and we said never again.
We did what?
Bought a car with a note.
Yes, but I will be honest with you. I was strongly considering a car note.
Y'all listen to this.
I was. Marcus had to talk me off the cliff, but I was strongly considering a car note.
You was ready to lease a car, getting into that bag, the lease car bag.
Well, I was. Which is crazy. I'm not really sold on a lease here. But I was considering it after one of our cars was totaled in a car accident. Mm-hmm. And what we were offered was not enough to purchase a vehicle.
Right. So what do you do in that instance, y'all? Do you get a loan so you can get the car you want? Get a car that makes you feel all warm and fuzzy?
I thought about it, but...
We said, bump that.
That's not what we did. You know, I think we actually had an interview with a couple... Was it the wealth educator? Yes. They were on our podcast.
Yes. Shout out to Rashad.
Yes.
And Nirvana.
Right. And they were just, you know, they really motivated me mm-hmm. to like check myself and say, you know what? This is not a good idea. Mm-hmm. So we actually went without a car for several months.
Yes.
And we just had to just, you know, save.
Yeah. Yeah. Humbling, right? You like, ain't y'all got some money? Y'all could just get. Nah, it don't work like that.
Right.
So we decided, yeah, like you said, we're going to drive our SUV. Have
it's
one
an
car,
old SUV, okay.
2003, you know, Honda Pilot.
Marcus,
we drove that thing.
That's almost a 20-year-old car. Y'all see how we live over
here. 2003 feels like it's so close, but that is
old. It's a long way away, but it still runs. And you right. know what? The heater works so well in that
yes.
car.
So we drove that thing until we could add on to what... the check we got for the total of the car. We had to add our little, you know what I'm saying, put some seasoning on that, add a little yeast to that, and we were able to get our car cash.
Yes.
We recommend that, y'all. If you can do that, man, get you a pre-owned, certified pre-owned, nice car that's 2 to 3 years old, and just ride that thing, man, because... The loans, like Shire, when we got our loan for our 2009 Toyota Corolla, that was a brand new car. It was 2008, and we got an 09, so we thought we was really doing something.
Mm-hmm.
How long before you was like, you know what, these payments is just for the birds? I said maybe a year.
Yeah, they were expensive, but I think we, you know, I think we
paid
did
that
a five,
off early.
Yeah, we paid it off early, which was great.
Yeah, that was before we really got on the pay off your debt program, but we was just done with it.
Yes, it's a good feeling to have
yeah.
your car paid off.
Felt so free.
Yeah. Well, you know, this article does give some advice that if you do have to get a car loan, right? If you feel that you just can't wait and you have to get a home now, then one thing that you definitely want to focus in on is building your credit, making sure that you have a good credit score,
mm-hmm.
Because having a good credit score really is a big factor in the interest rate that you'll receive for whatever it is that you're trying to purchase. So,
yeah. And I really want to rest here, Shire, because many may be listening to this and thinking, well, what am I supposed to do, man? I had goals, man. I was trying to get, you know, I wanted to get a rental property. I wanted to do some things. Like, man, what y'all just telling me to just do nothing? What am I supposed to do for the next year? This credit thing. It may take you a year to get your credit score from the sixes to the sevens or the low eights.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you should do in the interim. Focus on, you know, controlling what you can control. Your credit, building up your credit, building a savings, emerging savings, so you no longer have to have a credit card as your emergency savings. So there are things we can do. They just don't seem as fun and as sexy. Like, you can't post, look at y'all, I just got my credit up. Like, those aren't as fun.
You could, you know.
But, you know, you want to post this stuff that you see everybody else posting. Got me this property. Got me this, isn't it? I get caught up in that too. But at the end of the day, sometimes you got to go into hibernation and get your grind on.
Right.
For a season so that you could come out and then, you know, show right. and flex and all this kind of stuff.
Right. I mean, I feel that that's exactly where we are. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a multi-year plan, mm-hmm. you know, to grow our real estate business.
Right.
And I had to go into my spreadsheet and adjust yes. it. You know, I literally made a high, you know, inflation plan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things are
fluid,
have slowed down a little bit
yeah.
because of, you know, the high interest rates and how it affects our ability to be able to, you know, get another, you know, conventional loan for a home.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we're still working the plan. And at the end of the day, we're still going to get to our destination mm-hmm. if we, you know, just stay steadfast, yeah. you know, in what we are pursuing. And yeah. so that's just what it's going to be, you yeah. know, for a lot of us. I mean, if we find a way to get another property next year, you know, that would be great. Because right. what I'm looking at is I'm looking at the cash flow.
Yes.
But with these interest rates being so high, sometimes you have to just say the cash flow is not... It's really not here.
It's not here. Exactly.
Yeah.
You just got to be honest with yourself.
Unless you're a cash buyer. If you're a cash buyer, it could be a great time mm-hmm. as the prices come down.
Right.
You know, yeah. and you can be able to negotiate it down even further if right. you're a cash buyer. But if you're putting that 20% down, you might just have to hold on.
Yeah. yeah.
And lie in wait
yeah.
for your moment.
Exactly. So just be focusing on, and even when you say cash buyer, sorry, that brought to my thought, you could be saving to become a cash buyer, you know, if that could be something that you're doing, you know, mm-hmm. in the interim. So,
or you can be increasing your contributions.
Yes.
So did you already talk about this on your quick cast about how?
No, I would like to go into it. I okay. may have mentioned it, but
look at me. I don't have any notes pulled up, but like your contributions to your 401k, you have
I
increased.
Did talk about that. Yes.
Yeah, I have increased by yes. $2,000 mm-hmm. each year. And then I think Roth contributions went up by $500.
Yeah.
So that's money that you can put into the market.
And Sharon, I know we live on the air, but another bag that I want to get into with you is the HSA bag.
The who?
The health savings account. Another pre-tax kind of situation. We need to talk about that off air a little bit more. So we need to cut these taxable income down a little taste.
Oh, but, Lord.
Yeah, so there are different things you can do that still will get you progress to your expected end. If that's getting out of debt, if that is early retirement, if that whatever that goal is, there's things you can do even in the worst of times, which is what we're headed for as far as the economy. So we want you to be encouraged. We're bringing you this information because we're all living this out in real time. And that's the luxury of being a part of a community like this, is we're all kind of building the plane as we fly it. And so hopefully we've been able to give you guys a little something on this pod here to encourage you and to just let you know and make you aware of the roadblocks ahead. So when you come up to them, you could just hurdle them. You know what I'm saying? You could just give them the Heisman pose and run right around them. So,
right.
Any other yeah. thoughts, Shire?
No, I think this is good. It's just a good reminder.
Yeah.
And then if you do check out the article, there are quite a few comments in here as well.
Let's get to some of them, Shire. Let's
oh, you
do
want
that.
To?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We got some time.
So someone says, if you... they would amend the advice slightly and say, if you don't need it, don't buy it. If you need it, pay cash.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
Oh, I like that. So if you don't need it, don't buy it. That's number one. But if you do need it,
pay cash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you, I'll amend that a little bit more. And if okay. you ain't got the cash, go sit down somewhere.
Marcus, I'm ready to close on that note.
All right, y'all. We hope you enjoyed this pod. If you did, like I said on the front end, leave us a 5-star review. And I'm going to do this. We're going to gift you our masterclass, Get Out of Debt and Start Building Wealth, absolutely free for just leaving us a 5-star review. So all you have to do is leave a 5-star review and then come to our email. Our email is blackmarriedebtfree@gmail.com. Email us and say, hey, I left a review. Where's my gift? And we will respond with the link to our masterclass just to say thank you. Shire, any other thoughts? Are you good to go?
No, I think you closed us out with that one.
All right, y'all. Well, if all hearts and minds are clear, the benediction. Not flat. We're going to see y'all on the next pod. This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shire.
And we out. Peace.
Bye.